This program is a production of the Reformed Forum, an organization devoted to producing and distributing Reformed theological content for a connected age. Online at reformedforum.org. This is Christ the Center, episode number 260. Today we speak about the nature of Scripture, preaching, and a new program from Reformed Forum titled Proclaiming Christ. Welcome to Christ the Center, Doctrine for Life, your weekly conversation of Reformed theology. This is episode number 260. My name is Camden Busey. I'm recording here from Wheaton, Illinois, just across the parking lot from Bethel Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I'm delighted to have a number of people with me. Let me introduce to you our regular. We have Jim Cassidy, who is pastor of Calvary Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Ringo's, New Jersey. Welcome back, Jim. It's good to have you again.
It's good to be here, Camden, as always.
We're really pleased today to welcome two of our friends to the program, and we've got some big news to announce. But let me introduce to you first, we have Pastor Mark Winder, who is the pastor at Wolf River Presbyterian Church in Collierville, Tennessee. Welcome back, Mark. It's good to have you on.
Camden, it's great to be here.
And we also have with us Reverend Adam York, who is the pastor at Providence OPC in Kingwood, Texas, which is in northeastern Houston. Welcome back, Adam, or welcome to the program. It's wonderful to have you.
It's a delight to be here.
We are excited today to have Adam and Mark on because we are going to be speaking about a reboot of a program. We're going to be announcing and welcoming back to the network Proclaiming Christ, which is going to be, hopefully, a weekly program. We're going to build up to that over time, but a program devoted to actual biblical text, looking at basically everything leading up to a sermon, but not quite the sermon. So these will be regular looks through the Bible at redemptive history, looking at exegesis, looking at biblical theological themes, exposition, all sorts of fun stuff, all coming up and a future program called Proclaiming Christ here on the Reformed Forum Network. But before we get into that and have a great discussion about the nature of redemptive history and the nature of preaching and biblical theology, we do have a few things to mention. First, I do want to mention that we are listener-supported, and especially this time of year, we encourage you to visit us online at reformedforum.org/donate to pledge your support today. We do have expenses, and we have projects that we'd like to get into and things that we'd like to do, but we need your help, so we encourage you to visit us online to help us to continue to produce and distribute all of our programs free of charge and help us finish out this year on a very strong note. Again, visit us online at reformedforum.org/donate. We thank you so much for your support of everything we do at Reformed Forum in this particular program, Christ the Center. Jim or Adam or Mark, do we have any other news items or anything coming up here at the end of the year that we'd like to pass on to our listeners?
Well, traditionally here at the end of the year, we don't have much going on because everybody's busy getting ready for the holidays and whatever respective services may be offered and at our respective churches and ministries, but only to say, and this is way in advance, but only to say that for those who were looking forward to the Princeton Conference on Reformed Theology, which ended up getting, you'll remember, stormed out by Superstorm Sandy. Yeah. They are already planning for next year. The good news that I understand is that the topic will once again be on sanctification, and hopefully the same speakers will be back. So just some news I had gotten here recently I wanted to pass along. It's never too early to talk about this conference because this topic of sanctification is extremely important. And so for those who either are planning on being in the area sometime in the fall next year, we really encourage you to be anticipating that conference. And of course, you'll hear more about it as we get closer to that time later on next year.
That's good to know. I was disappointed at the storm did not allow that conference to happen because it was going to be such a good topic with some yep. great speakers. But I'm glad to hear it's going to be coming back, and hopefully there won't be another superstorm.
Oh, please. Please, no.
Yeah, exactly. Things have been a little light on the publishing end. Again, this time of year is, you know, everyone's busy with other things. And so generally people aren't coming out with new titles or other things. But with that in mind, I suppose we should just get right started into our main discussion. I should give some history. Several months ago, Jim Cassidy here and I were talking about, you know, the nature of our programs and things that we speak about and talk about on Reformed Forum. And we like to speak a lot about theology and church history, apologetics, and we get into biblical theology and biblical studies when we can. But generally speaking, since that's not the area of our research interests, at least in terms of our academic pursuits, we don't typically have many programs devoted specifically to a text. Now, in our preaching ministries, we certainly do, but in terms of our work on our dissertations and those sorts of things, and so and henceforth, a lot of the reading that we do in support of those pursuits, we don't often get into biblical studies outside of preaching. So we thought this is an actual weakness and a hole in our offerings at Reformed Forum, and we started to brainstorm and think through some ideas and ways we might promote actual study in texts and a biblical theological view of Scripture, and trying to come up with a holistic or an overarching view of what's going on by studying texts in sequence. And so after much thought and prayer, we eventually got together Adam York and Mark Winder, whom we've invited today to discuss this new program titled Proclaiming Christ. And we're very excited to speak about it. And I think I'll start things off with you, Mark, just getting your initial thoughts on this. And you guys have already recorded one episode. What are some of your goals, your hopes, and your aims in this program?
You know, I think you summarized it very well. The broadcast, Christ the Center, does a tremendous service, I think, to the church in helping ministers, people that are interested in theology, understand many of the issues that are there. And you can't do everything at one time on one broadcast. And I think there really is a need to explore texts of Scripture, mm-hmm. Providing tools, aids, resources for students of the Word, for ministers, young and old, experienced, inexperienced, know how to approach a text, to listen to some exegetical insights. And I think our aim, our desire, is we're recording some of the initial episodes where we're going to talk about what it is that we're doing, some of the presuppositions that we bring to the table as we approach a text, how we view a text, and all of that. But once those initial episodes are over, which I think are really important,
oh yeah,
what we are really passionate about and excited about, actually, is being able to open up texts, whole texts of Scripture, and go through a book and study that, in a sense, together, provide some exegetical insight. This is from, we have four pastors on a weekly panel. We hope to bring in guests as well, but four pastors on a panel who are regularly, weekly, preaching the Word. Typically preaching, you know, continuous exegetical style sermons, and we're going to open up to books that we've preached through and studied through and say, okay, what do we find here? What is a hermeneutical approach to this? And how do we think this is best communicated in the pulpit? What is the message of this text? And we hope that really opens up the Word to people who are either looking for resources to look through a text, or even looking devotionally to find something more than the sort of thing you may typically find in a Christian bookstore, you know, for devotional material that they can open up to. And there are a lot of different facets to that, but that's kind of the one I'll, you know, introduce, and I'm sure Adam will want to add to that. But I think that's what we're excited about, opening up the Word itself and doing that exegesis, that biblical theological exegesis, and hoping that folks can glean from that.
Mm-hmm. Now, Adam, what do you think is really the value here of these discussions and eventually building up an archive of ministers discussing actual texts of the Bible.
Right. Well, I really agree with Mark. I think the value is in taking this somewhat out of the realm of the theoretical and bringing it into the everyday or at least every week implementation of principles to particular texts. You know, it's real easy to go to seminary and to acquire the science of preaching and the science of exegesis, mm-hmm. and all sermons, of course, must be built upon good, solid principles. But then you find out once you're in the pulpit for a while that building a sermon is science and somewhat of art. You find yourself, hopefully, you find yourself that you're maybe not exactly up to speed with where you want to be. You're not practicing the art of biblical preaching how you would want to. You're wanting to grow and develop all those things that you've learned in seminary. And I think there's great value in discussing that and seeing how particular ministers have grown in both the science and the art of biblical preaching. And it's done best, I guess this is a buzzword, you know, community, done in conversation with others. Really what we're talking about here is how the church does this, because ultimately I think all biblical theology, our love for biblical theology, Reformed theology, covenantal theology, all theology is done in service of the church. Mm-hmm. At least that's my Amen. View. And just to hear how other ministers are fleshing out their efforts to not preach themselves, but to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, there's just tremendous value in that.
Mm-hmm. Jim, have you found a similar thing in your preaching ministry, this need and usefulness of discussing things with other students of the Bible?
I do think that having this opportunity of iron sharpening iron, right? This opportunity of being able to share with fellow ministers our preaching experiences, what we have experienced from the text, what we have found to be helpful insights, and other items of this nature. I'm very thankful for a ministerial colleague I have here in this area who I get together with regularly. He's a Reformed Baptist and a man who greatly admires biblical theology, particularly in the tradition of Gerhardus Voss, Ritterboss, Dr. Gaffin, and most recently, of course, Greg Beale is providing a number of resources that he has tapped into that he has found helpful in his preaching ministry. And we have shared these things with each other. And we could sit down over a meal and begin to talk about our Sunday sermons that we had. And while the people may have snored through them all, we are very excited to be able to share these things and go back and forth and open up God's Word and glean these types of insights from one another. This is where a program like this, I think, can be just so helpful, not just for the men on the program as they're sharing with each other, but as we, as listeners, eavesdrop on their conversation, hopefully being able to gain some rich insights as to what God is saying in His Word.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Jim. Now, Mark, we've had you on the program before to talk actually about the text, and we talked a lot about a biblical theological view. What is the role of redemptive history and the study of biblical theology in this particular program?
One of the things we want to kind of see as we do this, as we open up a text and we approach even the beginning of a book, is to see that movement in Scripture. One of the things one of the things that we're going to talk about in our opening broadcasts is some of our presuppositions. One of them is that we approach Scripture covenantally. We approach it from the perspective of covenant theology because we think that's the organic, that's the natural expression that Scripture uses to reveal God condescending himself to us by way of covenant. And so that's the approach that we're going to use. And in that, we recognize that first we see the Word of God. God speaks. And then we notice as the Word unfold that what the Old Testament prophets look for is the expectation of that promise of redemption being fulfilled. And then we see Christ comes and he fulfills that expectation. And then we see the epistles, which supply the interpretation of what the prophets expected and what Jesus delivers in God coming to earth. And so as we open up a book, we're asking, where in the flow of redemptive history does this book fit? Where is this revelation coming, and where is it going? How is it fulfilled? You look at the book, and we're not going to begin with the book of Revelation, but for example, you take a book like Revelation. Revelation has, out of, I think, 300 verses, 300 and something verses, something like 500 references to the Old Testament. Wow. But they're not, interestingly enough, they are not direct quotes from the Old Testament. They're allusions to the Old Testament, but never verbatim. They're showing how it's fulfilled now, the Old Testament. And that's what we're interested in seeing. So even if we do an Old Testament text, we want to follow that progression through the expectation of Christ, the coming of Christ, and then how that is brought out. The final interpretation or the subsequent interpretation that is given to us in the epistle. So the one thing that I love about Reformed theology and covenantally approaching a book is I kind of liken it this way. When we look at a particular text, one of the key principles, in fact, the Westminster Confession tells us the only infallible rule of the interpretation of Scripture is Scripture itself. And that's what I think we want to try to do here. How does the Bible interpret this passage?
Along those lines, how are you going to be selecting texts from this? How is this going to unfold in terms of which texts you will address and the relationship with previous and future episodes?
The mode of selection will simply be who has preached on what.
Yeah.
Who has something to offer. We really want to talk about text that men have worked over, and I think it's probably best if they've worked all the way through a book. I don't know about the rest of you, but I know I've often had the experience of preaching through a book and getting to the end of it and then wishing that I could start over again, because having arrived at the end, I feel like I've gotten such a better grasp on it than I had at the beginning. So I think, at least as far as we've talked about it, and Mark, you can jump in and add to this. I believe the design is to talk about books that men have engaged in, that they've preached through. We'll obviously have occasion where more than one of the panelists has preached through a book. Right now, I've just started preaching through the Gospel of John, but we actually, in our first episode, I think they'll be sticking with us for hopefully as long as they can. We have two other panelists, Matt Cotta and Chad Bond, and yeah. I know Matt is far ahead of me preaching through John. So perhaps at some point we'll talk about John, and Matt can explain some things to mm-hmm. me, perhaps, if I'm not through it.
Sure.
But that's roughly the design.
Well, generally speaking, you preach through successive portions of the book until you're all through the book. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. And so in terms of the episodes of the program too, will you be following that pattern, generally speaking? So if we talked about something from John 1, we would expect maybe the next episode, or at least the next episode in that series, would be whatever the next passage is.
Yeah, I think so. Although except probably for when we begin a book, I think there's a real sense that when you begin a book, you want to look at it in its entirety. And so just for example, you know, thinking about the book of John, I found so helpful to look at the purpose statement in John 20 and 30 and 31, where he really tells the why he has written this church, why he's written the book. And I think something of the substance of the book, the theme of the book, that those hearing or rather reading and hearing would believe, and believing that they would have life. And if you get that in view, I think you see something of the central concern of the book, which is it's caught up certainly in eternal life. So probably working through passages chapter by chapter, section by section, except I think really when you begin the book and the rest of your way through it, but especially at the beginning, I think you want to begin to set the parts in light of the whole. And I say that simply because sometimes I think the verse by verse preaching, you know, and I've been going slow through John. When you get to John 1:1-2, you can preach pretty slowly through that. It's packed theologically, and people have been commenting how hey, you're preaching verse by verse, and I guess they're wondering if I'm going to pick up speed, and I told them that I am, but. Also, I'm trying to emphasize at least that there's a need to consider, we're not just doing verse by verse expositional preaching in the way that I think it's popularly understood, because who was it? I think it was David Gordon, I heard one time on Christ the Center, talking about certain preachers preaching not the Word of God, but the words of God, focusing so much on the verse-by-verse, word-by-word exposition that they miss the whole. So at least I think that will be our goal.
That's useful.
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up, Adam, because one of the things we don't want to – that we, Lord willing, won't be doing in the broadcast is losing the forest for the trees. I think a good example of that, maybe something that almost all of us could be familiar with, is the book of Revelation. When you come to chapters 4 and 5 of Revelation, you have that fantastic, great throne room scene of God enthroned, the enthronement of Jesus Christ. And if you lose the forest for the trees, you lose the fact that the whole point of Revelation 4 and 5 is to show that God is on the throne. All the events that are going to take place in chapter 6 through 20, God superintends all of these things, and he reigns over all of them. That's the point. And if you want to interpret chapters 4 and 5, there you go. Christ is king. He's over all. But if we are doing verse by verse exegesis, there can be, we just need to be cautious that we're not so anxious to find a mystery under every gemstone that we see on the throne, that by the time we get to the end of chapter 5, boy, we've got all those gemstones figured out, but we really have no idea what it was saying.
Right.
And so we hope we get that flow of the book, and that's one thing that we want to emphasize. What we aren't going to do, we hope, is we're not going to have 97 broadcasts on the book of John. We aren't going to solve every exegetical mystery in the book. We hope to mine some nuggets out of the rich treasury that's there, but at the same time, we're not going to get lost in the book, we hope, and have 92 episodes. We hope that the message of the book remains the message of the broadcast, but provide the exegete with some helpful insight as he moves through the book.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think we might have 97 on the first two verses.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
we
right.
We could. We very well could
kidding.
Do that.
Just kidding.
Yeah, I have a question, and I think the best way for me to get at the question is to place it in the context of an anecdote of my own experience in ministry, and then let Mark and Adam take it from there, if that's okay. So here you go. I mean, I tend to be a lectio continua type preacher. I love to tackle a book of the Bible, And part of the reason why I like to pick a book of the Bible and to work through it, Lectio Continua style, is because it basically takes a lot of the brain work out of the pastoral ministry in some mm-hmm. sense. You don't have to think about and contrive some system of preaching topically. You can say, this week I'm going to focus on 1 Peter chapter 1. Next week it's going to be 1 Peter chapter 2, and then the week after that, 1 Peter chapter 3, etc. And so it kind of takes the scheduling administrative part of preaching out of the equation, and it helps your study time too, because once you've done a good deal of the back story, the context story, as you guys were saying, the large theme of a particular book, so many of the difficult passages are much easier to handle and to make sense of, because now you have context helping you, and you've got a lot of as you move along through a book, you've got now a lot of theology of that particular author under your belt, and it just seems to make things easier with regard to organizing a preaching schedule. Now, what I've noticed, however, in doing that, and I've done it now for about 10 years. One of the struggles, or one of the difficulties, one of the catches to this is that I oftentimes find myself being surprised, or finding an issue arise within the congregation, and being surprised that the issue arose within the congregation, whether it's a moral or a doctrinal issue or what have you. And realizing it, that for the last so many years I've been preaching through, let's say, you know, Genesis and John and Revelation, but I never preached on that very basic, seemingly to me, basic subject or topic. And so I guess the question that I'm asking is, have you guys given much thought to the issue of a balance between topical and Lectio Continua preaching? How is that going to play into the show? What is the relationship? And I know I'm now asking more than one question, but what is the relationship between – can you do biblical theology and still preach topically? I don't know if you guys have wisdom playing off that relationship between Lectio Continua preaching and topical preaching. So go to it.
Go ahead, Adam.
Okay, sure. I think I'm in probably agreement with where you're coming from, Jim. I mean, by and large, I think it's best to follow a Lectio Continua pattern of preaching, because it really helps you on the one hand, as you say, with all the struggles that there are in the pastorate in terms of maintaining your time, and it takes a lot of work if you're going to jump around from text to text, but also it forces you to grapple with books on a deeper level. It sometimes, to kind of turn the tables on your question a little bit, preaching Lectio Continua also forces you to address some questions and topics you might not otherwise prefer, but you are forced to do so. But having said that, I absolutely, maybe I've modified my own thinking on this over time. I do think that there is a place for, if you want to call it topical or Lectio Selecta preaching. I myself always like to address those topics as they are found in particular texts, so rooting the topic, or finding the topic that's appropriate as it's kind of the central thrust of some particular text. And in that way, of course, hopefully the congregation, their confidence in the authority of what you're saying is built up, because they can see that topic grounded in the text you're preaching. But having said that, if you're preaching topically on a regular basis in that way, grounding the topic in a text, it's really hard, because sometimes you might, to address a topic fully, you're going to have to go through various portions of the canon, understanding context and background of all those passages. So it's a hard thing. It's a challenge. I think it's appropriate at times, and I can give just a couple of illustrations in our church. There was a little while ago when we were, we're very thankful, the Lord was blessing the church with a number of new people. And I believe I was coming to the end of one book I was preaching through. Maybe it was Samuel or 2 Corinthians. And I wasn't yet ready to begin anew. And I thought, hey, this is really an appropriate time with a lot of new people to our church, new to a Reformed church and new to Presbyterianism. I should preach topically through the doctrine of the church. And so I did. And I looked in Matthew 16, Matthew 28, Acts 15, the sacraments in 1 Corinthians and other places. And I think it was good. I think it was useful. And many people told me it really helped them to understand something of the new environment they were coming into. And then just beginning John, I looked at a number of passages in Scripture dealing with the doctrine of the Trinity, because even though the Gospel of John is not a Trinitarian treatise, you really find the doctrine of the Trinity voiced and set forth in John in some pretty magnificent ways. So I think it's appropriate and needed.
And I adding to what Adam said, I think that the reasons Jim gave and Adam gave are excellent reasons why a continuous exegetical method is probably the norm, certainly the norm in my practice, and I'm sure most of yours. But a couple other reasons I think are important, and one of them is audience comprehension. When you've got a congregation sitting in front of you who have spent the past 60 hours working and doing their hobbies and running their kids to soccer games and so on, and then you plop them down and say, okay, now here's a whole new topic that we're opening up today. This is a whole new passage we're looking at. It can be a little tough for them to get up to speed. And when you continue through a passage, they know where they were last week and the week before, and they know what to expect coming up. Lord willing, they've even read that, maybe studied it a little bit, but they're in that context, and you don't have to reset the stage every time. Another reason I think it's important is because in preaching through whole books, you get the flow of redemptive history that you just can't get any other way. And I've had people come to me and say, hey, what's a good book to read on covenant theology? And of course, the first answer is the Bible. You know, get out your Bible and get into a read your Bible through in a year program. Open it up and read through it as much as you can, you know, in one sitting, so you can get the patterns of theology. And I can, you know, we can recommend other resources too. But in the preaching, it's the same way. You don't get the flow of redemptive history, and I dare say it's even difficult to understand the natural theology of Scripture, covenant theology, if you are selecting different texts each week. So they see that theological pattern. But topically, I think you can address things. And the first thing I think to understand is that, in my opinion, and maybe this is something we could even talk about in Proclaiming Christ broadcast, in my opinion, even topical preaching is at its heart exegetical preaching. And we're not just, you know, we're not just digging out a topic. We're going, you know, Adam even said, you know, when I was preaching on the church, I went to passages, and he exegeted those passages related to the church. And I find that necessary from time to time. And I'll do that when I'm taking a break from the book. For example, I may preach, Genesis 1 through 11 and then say, let's take a month off and go over here and we can do this. So that presents opportunities to preach, topically, not in the popular way that's used, but I think addressing particular topics. And I also think that we find opportunities for topical preaching as we approach those subjects in the book that we're preaching through. So just to pick on Genesis again, when we come to Noah and the flood, you've got some topical sermons there you can preach. You can preach on the flood waters and And then you can follow that up for 2 or 3 weeks on sermons about the day of the Lord, the day of his coming, the day of judgment. You can do a couple of weeks on baptism. But those topics are being pulled out of the text that you're preaching from.
Hmm. That's interesting, Mark. You hit on something there I think that's helpful, because sometimes you get to a topic that is in a text like the judgment of the world. And you may want to – there may be an occasion to say something a little bit more about it from other text. Maybe you take a few weeks and preach on that topic as it's found in other text or later in the passages dealing with Noah, the whole issue of common grace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, doing a series on that. And I, you know, that saves people from boredom. You know, it allows them to take a little side trip here to look at this particular thing, but it also instructs them theologically. So hopefully by the time you're done, and I keep picking on Genesis because that's where I am right now. I'm at the end of Genesis chapter 19, preaching through the book of Genesis. I can't think of a more fun book. I've had more fun preaching through Genesis. I've just loved it. And part of the reason is because, of course, in preaching through Genesis, you've got that that word act word. Here's the initial revelation, and of course you get to 3:15, and you've got that seed out of which the whole rest of the Bible, you know, is of redemptive history is growing, and so the rest of the story is about this, you know, the Savior coming, and boy, just being able to trace that to his fruition. By the time you're done preaching Genesis, you've also preached a good portion of the Gospels, if you've been, you know, carrying through where Genesis is. So I think you do hit on topics as you go through. And I'll tell you, you know, in Genesis, you've got your fair dose of topics like judgment, immorality. There's no shortage of that stuff in Genesis. Every one of the Ten Commandments that you could hit on as you go through. So I think the means of grace is sufficient.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. One of the things that I have found helpful as I've struggled with this Lectio Continua, and that's my general approach to ministry, is the preaching systematically through books of the Bible and yet still needing to hit certain topics within the life of the congregation. I've taken, and maybe this is a good idea for folks, maybe it's not, but I found it to be helpful, starting to bear some fruit, I think. I publish a quarterly church newsletter. Included in it is a pastoral letter that I write to the congregation. And so I take that opportunity to address certain issues within the life of the church. Of course, these would also be, you know, topical and biblical in the sense that I'll use a text and say, well, what about evangelism, or what about apologetics? What about hospitality? What about, you know, certain issues that come up that I'm seeing as a pastor need to be addressed directly within the life of the church? I'll go ahead and use that newsletter as an opportunity to provide some teaching on various topics. And that frees up, of course, my Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings to do Lectio Continua, biblical theological type preaching. And meanwhile, being able to pastorally address topics within the life of the church by way of the newsletter. So I found that to be a method which has been
that's a great helpful great idea, so. Jim, you know, another one is the fact that we have things like Sunday school and pastoral visitation. When you're preaching continuous exegetical sermons and you sit down with somebody who's struggling with something, it's very rare that there isn't something in the last 3 months that I can draw on in my preaching, say, hey, you know, remember when we looked at the life of so-and-so, you know, and we saw this there, and we see what God did, and we see how we should respond, and we see what this teaches us. And when we're preaching through a book, it's easy for them to draw on that. If we sort of do the hop around thing all the time, it's a little difficult for them to catch the flow of the story. And then when you're doing that pastor's work, you know, where you really have the opportunity directly to apply the text in a way even more so than you would in your sermon. They can really draw on that. By the time, you know, I love to think of it this way. By the time you're done preaching through the book of John, let's say, your congregation has basically received a pastoral seminary course on the book of John. And they, if they've been paying attention and taking notes, and if they have photographic memories, they are very familiar with that book, and that provides a deep mine of pastoral tools that you can use from then on as you deal with them. And that's where we really can, I think, deal topically with people in their homes. And in Sunday school, we do in our congregation once a month, the first Sunday of every month, we have Q&A time. People submit questions in a box, you know, and I answer those questions. And they're very, usually very insightful and quite often based on the sermon. Can you expound on this more? You know, you talked about this, but could you go into more detail, you know, about this? Why? And then you can take an hour in a Sunday school lesson or 2 or 3 weeks and open it up even further.
So what about the question of application? Oftentimes the reputation that biblical, theological, and Lectio Continua guys have a bad rap for lacking application. Have you guys given any thought to that? How are you going to tackle that on the show? Do you have ideas for our listeners to begin to ponder in terms of how we move from biblical theology to application in the life of the sermon as you're preaching it?
Well, I'll just weigh in a little bit. I think, yes, there is a reputation, and I think sometimes that reputation is deserved.
Sure.
Sometimes biblical theological preaching, and I think it, maybe even myself in growing into this and trying to understand what it is to preach, and I think in the background of biblical theological, you're understanding things covenantally. Yes, biblically, theologically, redemptive, historically. That reputation is sometimes deserved. Again, I think maybe I've struggled with knowing how to apply as I've come to possess certain convictions. But we must apply the scripture to God's people. The only question, I think, is whether that application is done artificially or in terms of basic guiding principles that help us understand text. And really, in one sense, if you understand that Christ is integrated into the very fabric of Scripture, and that Scripture is principally teaching his either foretelling in the Old Testament or expounding upon the accomplished work of Christ in the New Testament, but it is proclaiming Christ. If you understand that, and then, of course, if you understand the very central union, central doctrine of union with Christ, that we are united with him, then not only is Christ immediately in every text, but in some way or another, the believer is as well. And I think it's the obligation of preachers to not only speak forth the indicative regarding Christ, his person, his work, as it fits into that, and it's a struggle. You don't want to, as I guess some have said, find Christ under every rock in a very artificial way, but as you find him present in the text in an organic, covenantal, biblically theological way, you have to, by virtue of the union Christ has with his people, identify them with their place in the text and what it means to then possess Christ and to walk in him. And I think with time and effort and reflection, you know, biblical theological preachers should be doing that. They should be doing it better. They should be doing it in a way that is consistent with the text and not just some moral exhortation that is in no way connected or rooted with the text, but they have to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. Adam, I think we're right on the same page when it comes to that. And I hope that one of the things we are very careful about is we recognize that even as people come and they listen to the broadcast, they're going to come at it from different perspectives. They might even have different expectations as they come. And we don't have an axe to grind about a particular way that you must adhere to this this approach in order to benefit from what I hope we aim to do. Mm. And what I'm trying to say is that I think there can be a pendulum swing in both directions that is harmful. And my hope is that you won't find the pendulum swinging in either direction really very far in terms of what we hope to do. I think we can safely say we do believe in our confession. Our Book of Church Order tells us that we are to apply the text, and we cannot ignore the fact that that is the mandate of the King's Herald, is to deliver the message and apply that message. But as Adam, I think, hit the nail on the head, is it cannot be an artificial application. It has to be one that is rooted in the text. And the fact is, not every text tells us to go do something, but there are some texts that clearly point us in that direction, and we must preach the indicative and the imperative. And what I think is important, in my opinion, as we look at texts and we see the movement of that text in redemptive history, the Old Testament bringing that preparation for the Word, the Gospel bringing the record of redemption in what Christ Jesus has done, the Epistles supplying the interpretation of that. I think that's kind of similar to the way that Voss understands that in his biblical theology. Hmm. But there's no question, as you read through the book of Colossians, there's indicative and imperative. Yeah. And I don't think your sermon is complete if all you do is explore where it is and you never go to its fulfillment in Christ Jesus and then our obligation to Christ. And sometimes mm-hmm. that obligation is merely to know Him and worship Him and love Him and recognize who He is. Other times, there is a pointed application that we are to walk in His path. That He is given to us as an example, not just a example of teaching, but also an example of behavior. And that does, I think, come into play quite often in preaching.
When can people expect some new programs? I know things are very tentative and there needs to be some flexibility here, but when can people, roughly speaking, expect to see new episodes of Proclaiming Christ in their podcast feeds, for instance?
Well, let me chime in on that, since I think I'm given the task of editing and finalizing these recordings. We hope eventually to be up to roughly a weekly release. I believe the plan is to try and, you know, when we record a number of episodes at a time, and we can break that recording into various releases. I've listened all the way through our first one, and it's a good first episode. I would please ask the listeners to kind of bear with us as we make progress through technical issues, as well as we get our sea legs, or maybe our internet legs, so to speak, and get a little more ease with what it is that we're doing. But I would hope, I mean, I hope to have the first one ready and edited soon, within a week, 2 weeks. And then the only question is, how quickly will subsequent ones follow? Yeah. We're kind of bogged down a little bit here with the holidays, but going into the new year, we want to pretty quickly, Mark, and you can chime in if you think otherwise, get to either a weekly, or maybe to start with at least maybe a biweekly release.
Yeah, I think so. We'd be great if we can get it down to every week. We've got probably four initial broadcasts and then get right into the text. I think Adam's timetable's right on. And, you know, with Adam, just beg our listeners for some little bit of leeway as we get used to things. The four of us panelists, in fact, I've never met all of the panelists. Maybe you have, Adam, but I've never met all of them in person. this one person I met one time at a General Assembly about 8 or 9 years ago. So we're getting to know each other too as we come, and there's a couple of pauses, and we've got to get used to interrupting one another, and things like that. And our hope is that, and I think it's going to happen, but our audience will have to bear with us just a little bit. But what I fully expect this to be is what I hope will be a really fun broadcast for people to listen to, maybe even kind of a fast-paced, fun kind of a thing. I sort of envision this as sitting down at the lunch table during a presbytery break with four or five ministers sitting around and just talking theology excitedly, only based particularly on a text. And just having fun with that, hopefully fun responsibly with it. So it's going to be, I hope, a rigorous discussion that is going to be a lot of give and take. But some of that, I think our first broadcast is good, but we're kind of, hyper. What's the word? Virtually, yeah. Calvinist? We're virtually looking at each other saying, are you next? Are you next? You know, kind of thing.
Tentative, I guess.
A little tentative, yeah, right.
Yeah. I think we'll get there. And I would just, I know we're probably going to close up here soon, but I would encourage people. I think this program, being the kind of program that it is, will certainly appeal to ministers and to pastors, and we would love to have those listen to it. But I hope it also appeals to a broader audience of just Christian lay people who want to hear more about Scripture, and especially as we get into discussing particular passages, we're going to, I'm sure, deal with texts in ways that we wouldn't preach them. And in other words, we're probably going to talk more deeply at times than would be appropriate in a sermon. But nevertheless, I hope that it'll be something really edifying, not just to ministers, but to Christians in all stages, in all walks of life.
I wholeheartedly agree. I'm very excited about the possibilities for this program and the opportunity that it has to really fulfill a need, I think, that's out there in terms of people wanting to learn more about the Bible in a detailed way that wouldn't necessarily be appropriate in a sermon. So they're going to be able to access a conversation from a number of ministers opening up and expounding and discussing the riches of the text in a way that can be really helpful.
Just yesterday, Sunday, we're recording this on a Monday, and Sunday I was talking to a member of our congregation about Christ the Center and potentially doing a new broadcast, and he hadn't heard of it before, and a serious layperson loves the Word, loves to study God's Word, and have good theological conversations with him, and this is a plug for your podcast thing right there on his phone. He was able to pull it right up and access it within 30 seconds. He's listening to a broadcast of Christ the Center that he can take with him on the plane, in the car, and so on. So we hope it's something that everybody – we hope people don't feel like, oh, that's just for ministers or that's for seminary students. It is, but I hope that everyone can find something useful here.
Yeah, I agree, and that goes for everything we do at Reformed Forum. We like to fulfill this niche, and there's been a need, I think, for the last several years for some more difficult content and discussing things at a higher level. And a lot of people like to be stretched and like to reach up there and participate in the conversations. And I've heard from a host of people in terms of the ways they've been able to grow by being stretched and by working hard and reading some books they might not have read before. So that's something that goes along with the territory, but I think that this new program is going to be excellent. I'm very excited to hear what you guys have lined up, hearing your conversations, and I'm most excited about providing discussions on biblical texts to ministers of the gospel, to seminary students, other people in ministry, but also to the people in the pews so that they can go further. The people that want to go further can go further, and God will be glorified as a result. We know that his word does not return void, and so it will have an effect on the people that listen insofar as the program's faithful to the teachings of Scripture, which I have no reservations about. So this has been a really fun discussion, guys. I really thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I do want to point people back to the appropriate websites. You can find Wolf River Presbyterian Church at wolfriverchurch.org. Now, Adam, you are available at houstonreformed.org, but that's a kind of an area website. Do you have a specific website, or is that the main location for
That's a catch-all website for the OPC churches in Houston. We've just moved a church plant here along a little further, and so Cornerstone OPC and Providence OPC, where I serve, are both listed there. But I'm at providencepres.com, and hopefully by the time this goes up, we'll have sermon links of our own. We've kind of been needing to get that up a little bit, but providencepres.com is where you can find.
Yes. Thanks for pointing us there. It's a beautiful website, and there's a lot of good information there, including a calendar and hopefully some more sermons in the future. Jim is available at calvary-amwell.org. And, of course, we're online at reformedforum.org, and there you'll find information about all of our programs and everything that we're up to. If you'd like to get a hold of us, we like getting comments and feedback. You can do it a number of different ways, most easily through email at mail@reformedforum.org, or you can tweet us at Reformed Forum. We want to thank everybody for listening. We hope you join us again next time on Christ the Center.